Passenger pigeons were at their peak in the early 1800s. The Knox Museum's Vicki Mundweiler says an estimated 2 to 4 billion of the birds filled the skies over the U.S. They ate vast quantities of food and flew in huge flocks.
It wasn't uncommon for a flock to be more than a mile wide and more than 200 miles long. They would come and it would take days for them to pass, and they would darken the sky. Well, a lot of the population didn't like this. They were eating their crops. They were eating, destroying the forest, because they would actually go into the forested area, and it was not uncommon to have 100 nests in one tree. The trees would actually bow with the weight. The limbs would fall, and some of the trees would actually fall with the weight of the birds.
So these are basically seen as pests by
yes,
people.
Yes, they were. And anyway, so the government says, okay, then have at it. Kill as many as you want. We don't care. Just go and kill as many as you want. And even though there were environmentalists at that time who were saying to the government, we've got to protect them. They're diminishing. We've got to protect them. Oh, no. That's not possible. So that's why I emphasize that the impossible can happen. And it did happen with the passenger pigeon. What we have here in our museum is a lovely, lovely actual stuffed passenger pigeon. It's beautiful. And it was donated by Gil and Mary Hubbard, the same Gil and Mary Hubbard that donated the money to build this museum. And the glass that covers the pigeon was donated by Glass Specialty of Galesburg at no cost, which was very generous of them.
You mentioned some of the problems passenger pigeons were causing for people. Mm-hmm. What would you consider to be some of the benefits of passenger pigeons? Did they eat insects, or what were some of the things that they did to fit into the environment?
Yeah, they did eat a lot of insects, and of course their main food supply was acorns or other types of nuts. They did help the populations in many areas. Sometimes when their flocks came through, the harvest had already happened, so they couldn't diminish the harvest, so the population would shoot as many birds as they want, and it would feed them. And that was very true with the Native Americans, who used the passenger pigeon for food to a great extent.
Mundweiler says the last passenger pigeon died in captivity in September 1914. She says the passenger pigeon is just one of many items displayed at the Knox County Historical Museum, which also shows off its ties to Abraham Lincoln.
And one of the big attractions that we have is the Lincoln buggy. And it is a link and pin designed buggy. It was designed in Ohio and built in Ohio, and brought here by a young man and his wife because they were moving west, and at the time, Illinois was west. When it was found out that Lincoln would be coming to this area, he needed a ride from Plymouth, Illinois, which was the closest station at the time, railroad station. And so two men from this area drove to Plymouth, picked him up, brought him back here to Knoxville. Now, many mistake this buggy for the buggy that went to Galesburg for the Lincoln-Douglas debate. It is not. This buggy was during the senatorial race against Douglas, yes, but this went to Carthage, Illinois, and back. It's a very interesting buggy. It has not been altered in any way, shape, or form. It is just like it was the day it was built.
And what about your connections to Stephen Douglas?
Yes, Stephen Douglas was, of course, our presiding judge here in Knox County when Knoxville was the county seat, and he sat in the courthouse here, and we have what is a desk, but I call it a bench. We have Stephen Douglas's desk that he sat at and presided over court. We have quite a few pictures and signed documents by Stephen Douglas, etc.
Vicki Mundweiler is with the Knox County Historical Museum in Knoxville. The museum is on the north side of the public square. The building is only 5 years old, but it was designed to fit in with neighboring buildings, some of which date back to the 1850s. I'm Rich Egger, Tri-State's Public Radio News.